car community is just like music, right? There's like subgenres, right? Like, so right. if you say, hey, everyone who's into cars is into dance music. Well, that's sure. one thing, but then like, there's like, oh, there's you know, the drift kids, which are, you know, drum and bass, you know, and then there's mm-hmm. like, you know, oh, the drag racers, that's hard style.
Sure.
You know, so it's
I
like,
love it.
You're all kind of the same, but different.
Hey guys, welcome back to Rave Culture Cast, your weekly guide to the EDM community, music festivals, and more. What is up, fam? Happy Wednesday. How we doing, guys? Happy mid-April already. I literally don't know where the time is going, but it's going to be a good month. I'm feeling great vibes already. It's beautiful out here in New Jersey. The serotonin is coming in. We're loving it. So I hope you guys are all having an amazing week so far. Couple quick updates here before we dive into today's episode. First and foremost, we got to shout out one of our friends of the podcast, Lunchbox. If you guys haven't seen this beautiful new mini backpack, you are missing out. This is going to be my bag for Project Glow, for EDC Las Vegas. I'm definitely bringing this baby, but they just dropped these new anti-theft mini backpacks that are incredible. They're a really nice size. They have all the anti-theft features like the inverted zippers that face your back, zipper clips. They have adjustable straps to fit your size, which is super nice. All kinds of organizational pockets inside. There's a mesh zipper pocket inside. So really, really organized, which I appreciate. A little pocket on the outside too, if you want to put like a fan or something. So you guys can use my code EMMAK to save money off of the new mini backpack. It's absolutely fantastic. I think you guys are going to really love this. So just wanted to give that a little shout out because I'm super excited to try that out at Project Glow next weekend. Which shout out, if any of you guys are coming, come say hi. I'm just going on Saturday this year. So just taking a quick little day trip down to DC for all the Deep House, Lane 8, Tin Liquor, all the vibes. So I'm super excited about that. So once we have set times here, I will announce a little Rave Culture Cast meetup to come meet you guys in person, say hello. So hopefully I'll see you guys out there. A couple quick updates. So I am looking for your submissions for an upcoming episode. I'm going to be talking all about EDC Las Vegas weddings. So if any of you guys ever got married at EDC, I want to hear all about it. I want to hear how the planning process went. What was it like working with the team? How was, like, basically what happens like when you apply to have a wedding there? Can you like walk us through the process of that? You know, what was it like on the day? Did you have a theme? Did you have a lot of people there who ordained you? Like, tell us all about your EDC Las Vegas wedding. And if you guys want to send in video submissions, you can totally feel welcome to do that. Just keep it on the shorter side and shoot it horizontally for YouTube. So you can email that over to raveculturecast@gmail.com. That is raveculturecast@gmail.com. And I just need those back by May 1st so I can shoot that episode. Alrighty. Other than that, I have officially picked the contributors for our new Rave Culture Cast contributor program, which I am so fucking excited about. So I am just chatting with all those creators this week, getting that all figured out. And then once I have everybody on board, I will do an announcement and a post on our socials on @RaveCultureCast to let you know who we're kicking off the program with. So thank you to everybody who applied. I really, really appreciate it. We had a ton of applications and so many good creators in there. I'm holding on to all your info because there were just so many people I wanted to work with, but I had to narrow it down. So I will definitely hold on to your stuff for future. But I think that's everything up front. Those are all the announcements that I've got. Like I think I mentioned this on last week's episode, but if you missed it, I do have a new team member joining. His name is Alex Amaro. You guys might have seen him on one of our past episodes. He is a former colleague of mine, and he's an incredible dance music journalist and DJ and interviewer. So he is going to be helping me out with some interviews, and his first one is coming up next week. We have an incredible drum and bass artist that he interviewed. I'm so fucking excited for. So that's going to be coming out next week. So you're going to see Alex popping up on some of these episodes. So very excited. So much growth happening for the podcast. Honestly, like, this is the year of growth. So pumped about all of that stuff. With that being said, let's talk about today's guest. So I have on Chris Stewart, who is the founder of Grid Life. Grid Life hosts a whole bunch of events, but their kind of like crown jewel event is Grid Life Midwest, which is happening June 7th through the 9th in South Haven, Michigan. So a little bit of info on Chris. So Chris started out in the creative world. He was in the world of advertising, creative strategy, digital media, but he grew up as a car fan, and it was something he was super interested in. He had this whole like Honda crew back where he was from, and he would throw events around that. So he kind of just wanted to take the automotive world and car shows and things he could experience and really innovate and bring together, you know, car culture and music festival culture. And he's created this amazing event series where, you know, fans can come in, and during the day there's, you know, racing, drifting. It's like a car show. You can go up, you can interact with the drivers, check out their cars. And then, you know, at night you have EDM sets going on with, you know, massive artists like Subtronic, Sullivan King. This year Zed's Dead is headlining. So it's really amazing. It's camping. It's got all the great things that a music festival experience would have. So Chris is going to come on and talk about how he created this, where he got the idea from, what he's discovered about these two communities and how they've come together, you know, what the experience is like for the fans and for the artists. So anyways, I'm blabbing on and on and on, but we really have never covered anything in the motorsports world. I think it's really interesting, and Chris was such a nice guy. So go ahead and give them all a follow. Grid Life, I believe it's at Grid Life Fest on Instagram, or at Grid Life Official if you want to follow any of their events. So yeah, please join me in welcoming Chris Stewart of Grid Life to the podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to Rave Culture Cast. Today, I am super excited to welcome Chris Stewart onto the podcast. Chris is the founder of Grid Life, an event series that merges the worlds of motorsports, car culture, and electronic music. After building a successful career in creative strategy, advertising, and design, Chris was able to use his background to build this innovative live event experience for fans to help grow car curiosity in the United States. I'm super excited to dive into this topic and unique world with him today. So please join me in welcoming Chris to the podcast. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. That was a great intro.
Yay. Like, I like to hype up.
Yeah. Like well researched. You hit all the right points. It saves me a ton of time. So awesome.
I'm so glad. Yeah. Well, when I was diving into your background before we get started, I was gonna say we have a similar background. I was a graphic design major as well, and like wanted to go into art direction and creative direction as well, and kind of like found my way into different worlds. So when I was like diving into what you've done, I find it like really fascinating how your career trajectory has kind of gone into entrepreneurship and what you're doing now. So I'm gonna pick your brain about a lot of things
totally.
Today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's start from the beginning though. I'm curious. I've kind of like looked into your background and some of the stuff you began with, but, a lot of what you do, which is similar to what I do full time, I'm a community manager for my full time job, but you're building communities, which is really cool. And you've kind of been doing events for a while, but were you always like that? Like in high school and college, is that something you were interested in?
Yeah. I mean, I think, my nickname amongst my friend group was the chaperone. So I was always kind of the individual that would like put all the pieces together and like try to get, you know, the plan scheduled and, you know, like figure out like what we're all doing together. So it's always been, like kind of a part of my nature to, you know, try to put all those pieces together and bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Grid Life ultimately was just kind of a mashup of like all the stuff that I was into, both professionally and personally,
right.
You know, and, you know, like it all kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say it happened by accident, but like the trajectory and ultimately like what, you know, got me to, like kind of diving all in,
mm-hmm.
you know, was very just like kind of serendipitous, you know?
Right. Right. That's amazing. I love that. It's kind of like, yeah, an organic way of like things kind of naturally evolving over time, but the stepping stones that you put in place are really interesting. And I think were necessary to get to where you are now, but where did the interest in car culture come from? Like, was that something you discovered on your own? Family was into it? Like, how did that come about?
No, I mean, like, I think a lot of people in, you know, that are deep into kind of car culture, it's like, oh, I wrenched on cars with my dad, or like, you know, my grandpa was really into it. I used to go to these car shows as a kid, and I didn't have any of that really. I mean, my from Detroit, so there's automatically like some sort of connectivity to car, you know, to car mm-hmm. culture, just being from the Motor City. You know, and like my uncle worked at GM, and he had cars that I thought were cool, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But it really all kind of clicked together just because a couple of my friends started getting into cars, right? And like this is high school, or like kind of end of high school, as everybody like got their cars, and it's mm-hmm. like you know, kind of I don't know, like you get something that's yours. It's like your transportation. I grew up in the, you know, the suburbs of Detroit. So like in the suburbs, you're like, I got my car. I can't wait to get out. Now, like now, you know, especially Detroit's a very commuter oriented city. So that like kind of unlocked everything. Right. So, and then it was just, you know, kind of through the organic process of like making something your own, you know, so whether like when I was like my first car, I was like, putting dead stickers on it and going to the sticker shop and like tweaking and customizing it that way. But a few of my other friends, you know, were getting into fog lights or whatever, you know, just kind of, diving into that stuff. And then, I don't know, that like all kind of happened, organically as well, you know, like just, it's like any niche or any subculture, you know, like whether that's skateboarding or music, you just like, once you like take that extra step forward, you kind of like fall into it. And, and that's really like kind of how it happened. So
that's awesome. And you're also, I mean, Detroit also being an incredible like music city as well too.
Totally.
Just, yeah. Being birthplace of techno and a lot of dance music there. What were you into growing up music wise?
I mean, all different types of stuff. You know, like I went through all different types of phases, but I like, you know, I'd say like the I'm really into like cult like music experiences, for lack of a better term. So Fish.
Yes, you know, I know like, Fish
like,
well.
Yeah, like a huge Fish head. You know, like, and especially like through the like kind of birth of the modern festival. So I'm 45, so I'm older. You know, so like my like post high school years, like I followed Fish around when Fish went on hiatus. I went to like, you know, the first four Bonnaroos, you know, so that was all when like festival culture was really like, at least the modern version of it was really starting to birth, you know, and you know, like my first festival was Lollapalooza in 1994, but that was like a different format, right? That was a one day thing, like at an amphitheater. So, you know, I think, you know, just, music being like one of my like primary hobbies, like one of the things that I like kind of call church, that like pulls me out and like brings me joy and like resets my head, you know. And then through the you know, just kind of like the observation or like the joy that I felt through those like more immersive festival like experiences are like the things that inspired, you know, what I wanted to bring to the car community. Because, you know, car community is just like music, right? There's like subgenres, right? Like, so if you say, hey, everyone who's into cars is into dance music. Well, that's one thing, but then like, there's like, oh, there's you know, the drift kids, which are, you know, drum and bass, you know, and then there's like, you know, oh, the drag racers, that's hard style.
Sure.
You know, so it's like,
I love it.
You're all kind of the same, but different, you know?
Right.
And that was really like the thought behind when Grid Life started, was like, there was a lot of like festivalization going on at that point, you know? So like that was, Grid Life's 11, this is year 11, we're so like 10 years old, or so like 2013, you know, so like in 2013 is when, you know, there was festivals kind of everywhere, right? Like all these like small festivals, it was like kind of the boom, and just the festivalization of stuff, you know, was happening. So like the idea was like, hey, how do I get all these different subgenres of car culture to like come together, primarily centered around the racetrack? Because, you know, like the like genre that I fell into in car culture was road racing, which is like a pretty small subgenre of the car community. You know, but I had friends, you know, that were doing all types of stuff in car culture. And the idea was to kind of like, how do I bring everybody together?
Right.
And also like, I'm into cars, but like, you know, I go to a car show and you give me like an hour and I'm like, I'm out of here. You know,
right.
And even, and if I'm at a racetrack and I'm not driving, you know, or like not invested in like some other piece of it, you know, it's cool for some time, but like it evaporates really quickly. It's not like a festival where there's so much stuff that you're like, where'd the day go? You know, I woke up at, you know, rolled out at 11 a.m. and it's 2 a.m. What happened?
Right.
You know, so I wanted to create like kind of a car culture environment that felt like that, where you've got all these like different touch points and all these like discoveries that happen and things that can kind of, you know, pique different curiosity, whether that's, you know, music that, you know, people from the car, you know, the automotive side of the event, like have never discovered, or it's, you know, people who come just for the lineup and they're like, wow, that's cool. You know, drifting or whatever the case may be. So, so yeah, I mean, that was like, I mean, I owe a lot of it to Phish and Bonnaroo and like those early festivals and just, you know, kind of the impact that those made on me, and how much they became like kind of a fabric of, the way I like approach everything or the way I think about how people come together.
Right. So. No, it's cool to hear the origin story. And yeah, like you were solving a problem, like intersecting these two interests. Cause I think you touched on a great point about being like a more immersive experience, which I've talked about this recently on an episode. I think, you know, fans are expecting more out of festivals now than just to go and watch sets. And like, that's all they do the entire time. Like they want to interact with things. They want art installations. They want workshops, like other things going on outside, especially if it's a camping festival, which I know you guys offer camping as well. Yep. So to have other things going on that people are also interested in, I think just creates a really special experience. And I want to go back to the first year, because you have this idea, you know, you want to create this event. I think I read in an article, it said the first year you booked everything yourself, made every arrangement, I mean, hired zero staff.
I mean, kind of. Yeah. I mean, it was very, very basement built, you know, and like even, I mean, even to this day, there's like a lot of stuff that, you know, we kind of bootstrap, so to speak. But yeah, like that first year, so I had been doing like motorsports events at this track, Gingerman Raceway, which is, you know, we're based out of Chicago. Gingerman's on the west side of Michigan. So it's effectively like directly across the lake. It's about 2 hours away. We had been doing like this Honda specific track day. And the other thing to like understand about like this segment of car culture too, is that, it wasn't very friendly to younger people, right? Like, so it's expensive, right? Like, so if you want to like race a car, you know, like there's a certain amount of affluence or at least organization that you have to have, right? You got to have a car, you got to have the like ability to maintain it, you know, and then you have to pay for access to the track. So, you know, at that point in time, you know, when we first started our event, so I was, my crew, in Grand Rapids, which is where I went to school, you know, like we were starting to get into the idea of like, we want to race our cars, you know, and then there was a bunch of like organizations that you could do it at, but like we came with like these, you know, fast and furious Hondas, for lack of a better descriptor, you know, and it was kind of like, people weren't mean to us, or like, it wasn't, you know, it's like, nobody was like particularly like directly rude, but you kind of got the side eye, you know,
like what are they doing here?
Like, you know, and like we're 25 years younger than most of the people that you know, that were participating, you know, and we found out, like, me and my group of friends found out you could rent a racetrack, so we like all pooled our money together and we rented the racetrack on a Monday started what was called the West Michigan Honda Meet. So that was like the beginnings of Grid Life, because it was like, we built something for us, like our friend group, you know, and then just through like the authenticity of like producing the event that we wanted to attend, we started to build this community of like younger automotive enthusiasts that like wanted to get into, you know, into the track. Like that's how it all kind of spawned. And then like, you know, that was pretty well established for about 10 years. And then year one, you know, I had been working in advertising, you know, for, you know, a decade or so, you know, like kind of climbing that ladder, getting better at my craft. Like, and as you mentioned, I like started as a, you know, designer, then an art director, then, you know, then a, you know, associate creative director. So like the way that I was thinking about things professionally was like more strategic. I was thinking about like how communities connect. And especially like at that point in time, you know, like that was when, you know, Facebook was just emerging as like a marketing tool. So there was a lot of like data scraping and like cool ways to like connect different stuff together. So I was just thinking about all these different ways that the brands that I was working on, you know, how we could like engage communities both digitally and then physically. So it was just like, because of where my headspace was, is like kind of a big part of where the idea came from, where I'm like, hey, you know, I've got friends that are, you know, I know into music. I've got friends that are, that are, you know, in drifting or in, you know, road racing mm-hmm. or in whatever, it's like, how do I glue it all together? You know, and then, and that's where that like kind of came from. And then that first year I had been kind of pretty deep into the like Chicago music scene that was emerging through kind of the mid 2000s. So like,
sure.
Kurt from Flostradamus, super good friend of mine. That was when like the Cool Kids and
mm-hmm.
Hollywood Holt and like a bunch of other like artists were emerging from Chicago. So I was in a fortunate place to be able to like book my friends.
Right.
You know, so I had, you know, like kind of a lot of that Chicago scene that I brought in. And then I was like, I got to rent a stage. And I like found some
figure out how to do that.
Found some local guy who like had a stage in Kalamazoo and like pieced this stuff together. And then, you know, like I used a lot of the, you know, the same folks that are still involved, but like help us build that original event that was just a racing event. So we were like really gluing it together.
For sure.
Know? And, you know, like I remember like the first, you know, like when the first artist came on at like 3 o'clock or something, you know, and I like programmed it like a regular festival, but there wasn't mm-hmm. like that. There wasn't that many people there. It was like maybe 2000 people, 1800 people or something.
Okay.
And they're all racing, you know, they're all like doing car stuff. So like the first act hits the stage and it's like, I mean, it's like any festival opening act where you're like, man, I sure hope this like really great sure. performer like has an audience, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, it was real light and I was like sweating it. And then,
right.
you know, as the like sun went down and like everything else picked up, you know, it all like kind of panned out. And I was
people
like,
oh, made this, their way over.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this is a thing, this is going to work, you know? And, you know, like that was kind of it. And I guess that moment was like kind of the genesis of like, all right, yeah, we're definitely going to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know the point when like it became a boulder rolling down a hill, but it definitely did, you know? So like there was like strategic plans, you know, like sort of, but really I was just making this one event and I was like making the event I wanted to attend,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it wasn't like financially driven. I wasn't trying to start a different business. I wasn't trying to leave my career. You know, I was just like, wouldn't this be cool?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then over time, you know, as like kind of forks in the road presented themselves, you know, I sunset my advertising career. I basically was like trying to make the event better and better and better. I think 3 or 4 years in, I think mm-hmm. I left in 2017 into 2018 is when I like finally like transitioned out of my
sure.
full-time gig, but I just transitioned to freelance, you know,
okay.
I was still working at the agency that I was working at, but I was just taking individual projects instead mm-hmm. of like all the projects, and then I just stopped.
did you feel like you, because I was curious about that decision, because I you know totally understand juggling so many different passion projects, but I think like you said, you had those skill sets and you felt like you wanted to stick with your career and build this thing on the side, but did you reach a tipping point in the 2017-2018, or had it just like you said caught so much traction that you felt like, okay, this needs more attention from me?
It was a tipping point, right? So
yeah.
it wasn't like, oh man, I need to like put all my energy into grid life so that mm-hmm. I can like grow it. It was just like, I can't balance these two things and be fulfilled by either of them.
Sure.
You know? So
yep.
like, I think, 'cause advertising in particular, you know, and design as a whole, like, you know, like when you're in it, you're like in it, it's like mm-hmm. what you do, you know,
yep.
like you're like, oh, I'm a designer. I'm a creative. Right. And then
sure.
like, that it occupies like the majority of your energy. You know, and it's not like you don't have a life outside of that, but everything, you like carry it all with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in order to be particularly successful, especially in, you know, kind of the upper echelons of the, you know, corporate version mm-hmm. of that, like, you got to believe it, you know, like you got to be bought in.
Right.
And, it was just getting really difficult for me to believe all the things simultaneously just because of the amount of energy that mm-hmm. it required.
You know? Right. That makes sense. And then moving, I'm curious just about the experience to kind of paint a picture for somebody who hasn't been. I'm sure the event looks very different in 2024 than it did in even 2016.
100%.
But when you mentioned with the sets, like you had them come on at 3 and it was kind of followed a similar structure to a normal festival. But what does the day look like now? Like, is it racing going on? Music's happening at the same time? Like, can you paint the picture of what grid life is like now?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll focus on the Midwest event, right? Because Midwest mm-hmm. is our most mature event.
Crown jewel. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And we've got, you know, we've got like festivals that we're launching, you know, kind of all over the place, but like a year one festival is going to feel a little bit different than like a year 10 festival, mm-hmm. you know? So like from a formula perspective, we tried a whole lot of different stuff, right? Like we tried multiple stages with like a regional stage and then a headlining stage. And we've tried, you know, kind of different types of touch points. And the formula that we're at now that we think works really, really well is we've got like a festival grounds, you know, like a festival central, which is, it like borders the racetrack itself. And then on kind of one side, like it's got two gates. So it's got a south gate and a north gate. North gate is adjacent to the campground, right? So you can have kind of a what you would describe as like a pretty typical, albeit like a little bit more intimate, you know, festival camping experience, right? So it's rows of campers and little pop up,
love it.
You know, mini houses and, you know, people barbecuing and chilling out and doing whatever, but that all like, you know, borders the racetrack as well. And then you can kind of enter the festival grounds. And the festival grounds, we've got a few different things. Music starts around 3 p.m. We've got this arcade basically that we set up. So it's it's under a tent, you know, pretty large tent. And we've got, you know, different like little places where you can sit down and like play Mario Kart or like just stuff, you know,
awesome.
To do. And then there's a stage where we've got just kind of usually like a lot of regional stuff. Actually, my 12-year-old has got a set. He's officially on the bill this
Amazing.
Year.
Amazing. Yeah, wow.
So, we've just got stuff that like kind of pumps vibes, right?
That's awesome.
You know, and that kind of goes throughout while the racing is happening. But racing starts at 9 a.m., you know, so like the track goes hot and you're like kind of like wake up to the sound
That's
of race
sick.
Cars. And and then even on the like motorsport side of stuff, it's not just racing. We've got all these different types of cars and all this different type of grassroots motorsports. They're all just people. So, you know, and you're going to see like a whole bunch of different stuff like, you know, happening throughout the day. And, you know, I'm sure anyone with just like a little bit of car curiosity, there's bound to be something that will like pass by to like catch your interest. So like that's happening, you know, and then the festival grounds are open. It's got vendors. We've got this like food court as you enter. So you like enter into the festival grounds. We've got the arcade. The main stage doesn't really fire up until about 5 p.m., which is when the racing is winding down.
Cool.
You know, but the secondary stage in that arcade area, which is like right along the racetrack, is active, you know, so like there's
Love
people
it.
Milling about and kind of good energy there. And then there's a bunch of vendors in that area as well. And then as you exit the festival grounds on the south end, there's like this food court. So a bunch of food vendors, lots of really great vendors that have been like with us for years. So we like curated that early and like, you know, grew that with the right experience. And now there's like just a super wide, I mean, for a festival, you know, like, it's what you would expect for an automotive event. It's like wildly diverse.
Blowing their minds.
So and then as you exit down, you go into the paddock. So the paddock is where all the racers are, right? So much like the festival campground, you've got this motorsports version of that where people have their like racing setups and their like little pop-up garages.
That's awesome.
And there's professional drivers and amateur drivers and just a whole mix of different type of people and different types of cars. And all that's open. So like you can walk into it, you can go and talk to anybody, you can look at any car, you can ask anybody anything. It's completely like an open environment. So it's not like going to like a typical like a NASCAR event where you're like,
right,
what's going on over there,
yeah,
you know, behind that fence.
Right.
So that's super important too, because like if any, you know, and like last year as we've like matured and kind of like refined our genre, you know, like Midwest is pretty bass heavy, you know, so like that has like basically refined the, you know, the festival goer that comes, you know,
right.
It's really interesting to see like those two groups, like kind of intermingle and, there's no like clash of energy. It all feels really authentic, and like super open between the two groups. And I think like drivers are drivers. They're like probably a little bit older, maybe a little bit more, I wouldn't call them conservative, but they're in the racing scene.
Right.
That's
right.
Their scene, right?
Sure.
They're not in the rave scene.
Yeah.
You know, even though they, you know, they might enjoy the music, you know, so like to see those two like come together and both of the groups be curious about each other and intermingle and stuff like that. It's super, super neat. And last year was awesome.
I think good.
I think the other thing that Grid Life offers is that we, you know, we try to like kind of punch above our weight in regards to like how we put our lineups together. And the festival is relatively small, like kind of by design. So it's like, in some instances, it's probably the most intimate outdoor environment you're going to see some of these artists in.
Right.
Like, so, you know, we're, you know, there's probably, you know, 7,000 people in the festival field for Subtronics. That's pretty intimate, you know.
You know, yeah, so. I was going to say, shout out the lineup just so you guys know, like just to name a couple, Zed's Dead, Mersive, Tate B, Barely Alive, like people absolutely crushing it in the genre. I was going to say, it seems like it leans a little bit more on the bass side of things, which makes total sense with the audience.
Especially with Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Michigan's, you know, like in West Michigan, you know, I mean, Grand Rapids is famously, you know, kind of one of the cities that like kind of partied their way to the top, you know, like it's not a big market city, but they get a ton of really, really good, you know, acts that come through. You know, shout out the Intersection for like, you know, being at the forefront of like kind of booking all those types of artists. But, you know, it makes a lot of sense for that market for sure.
Right. What has the artist's response been like? Like, have you talked to, are they hanging out and like 100%. Enamored?
Yeah. I mean, most of the time, right? So we kind of, you know, when we do our, you know, when we do our talent acquisition, we're pretty transparent about like what it is. And we also like kind of look for artists that like we feel will have some curiosity with it or like some openness.
Sure.
So, you know, like it becomes a pretty unique festival experience. I think for these artists, cause you know, one, they're coming into, you know, it's, I remember like Subtronics last year, you know, Jesse like posted to his story and he was like, just filming on the way in.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa. Oh, what? Whoa. And he's like,
I'm sure.
He's like,
yeah.
This makes me want to like grab a Civic and like, you know, soup it up to the nines. And then they get on, we usually encourage the artists to come, you know, on site a little early, you know, 3-4 o'clock, and then we'll put them on the racetrack. So they like actually get,
awesome.
get into a drift car, you know, experience, you know, like that's not a thing that a lot of people get access or opportunity to do. So, and it certainly is different than, you know, a lot of the other festivals, I'm sure. And I think when some of these artists get into the flow of festivals, it's like fly-in show, fly-in show, hotel, set.
That looks the same. Yeah.
Airport, you know, like,
yeah.
And I think we try to like break that up a little bit, you know, and, you know, even, I mean, that goes across genres. Like this festival we've got coming up this weekend is more hip hop, right? So Snot is our headliner. He's a, you know, artist out of Florida. He's got a BMW E30, which is like a, and it's kind of like a quintessential E-series BMW. It's like late 1990s, but he's like, oh, I'm bringing it. I want to.
Right.
So he's bringing
that's
it.
Amazing.
You know, he's like bringing it. He's going to park it in the car show. He's going to, you know, do some content about it. So I think that's like the ideal scenario, is that we get someone that like appreciates it or like sparks that curiosity. Cause like, I don't know, like car culture gets a bit of a stereotype. When I tell people that we do like racing, you know, racing stuff, they're like, oh, like NASCAR.
Yeah.
No, it's not really, you know,
right.
Like, and not that it's negative or not that there's anything wrong with NASCAR. It's just a different thing.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I think that's an important part of like all the things that we do too, is we try to like bring in, you know, artists and music programming that like elevates and sophisticates the car culture scene, you know, and like tries to like, you know, sharpen the point on kind of the cooler, more vibey elements of it, you know, versus, I don't know, kind of the brodeo that people might think it is.
Right. No, and I want to go touch back on the, like, what you're seeing out of the fans as well. Because, like, you said your son is playing. So is it, are you seeing all ages where people are bringing kids and their families? Is it more car-centric and then they're kind of, like, falling in love with the music? Like, what are you noticing about who's attending?
I mean, it kind of ebbs and flows, right? So, like, with any festival, you know, I think even, like, a Bonnaroo or you know, any promoter would probably tell you that there's like a life cycle a little bit, right? So you have lifers and people that go like every year.
Right.
But usually about like every 8 years, like stuff starts to like flip over. People get older, you know, and then like a younger group comes in, you know. So it's at this point, you know, now that we're like 10 years in, it's kind of a really interesting blend, because you have people who have like been year one Grid Lifers that are like still coming, but they might have, you know, families, or they might be just at a different stage in life, but they're still, you know, into the car scene and they love the party of it and just the energy that it presents, you know. And then with the genre, with the lineups we've had the last 2 years, we got a whole new group of people that are coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, like last year they came in because they wanted to see Sullivan King and they wanted to see Subtronics. And then they were like, what? Drift cars are crazy.
Right, exactly.
You know, and then, you know, I mean, it's, it, if you look at it, like, in, I mean, a lot of festivals are thematic, right? You look at a festival like Lost Lands, you know, and it's like, it's all themed in dinosaurs. So like, you could say that Grid Life is effectively a music festival that's all themed in race cars, except the race cars are like,
that's a good way to put it,
are real. You know,
like, yeah.
so that's like kind of how we think about it, but it's all like, it's all just kind of an authentic march, right? So like, I don't think we When we do our marketing and when we like think about who we want to come to Grid Life, we want people to come to Grid Life that want to come to Grid Life, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
It's not, I mean, I guess it becomes like a little bit of an interesting and difficult challenge for us because we want to be, you know, we're trying to keep this automotive audience in mind as we like program our music side. And, you know, we want to like kind of blend and make sure that like, you know, we're not pushing too far on one side or too far on the other. You know, it's all like kind of what's authentic to the crowd that's going to come to see the music, what's authentic to the car, you know, the crowd that's there for the cars and that stuff. And like what pieces are they going to be able to enjoy from, you know, those two different cultures coming together. But I would say that, yeah, to answer your question, it's a mix at this point. You know, I do think it's, you know, kind of mid 20s, you know, makes up the bulk, you know, so like your typical like festival goer, you know, but we've got like a little area called Kid Life, you know, which is just a little zone so that anyone who does have smaller people can kind of chill out and have a little bit of a safe space. And, you know, my kids have grown up around the racetrack and around music in general, you know, like we go to concerts all the time, like, you know, man, I mean, my kids have seen Fish 25 times.
Yeah. You know, like, see, this is what I aspire to be. I'm so glad you said that because I think it's important to have these types. My son is 8 months old, so he's got some time.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's what I hope to do.
It's a bit of a contentious subject, you know, like kids and music festivals and music experiences. And I think it comes down to like how it's managed, you know, from a parenting perspective, you know. But like, I don't know, I get you know, shit every once in a while for like having kids at these events, but like I think it's important, you know.
I think it's important
to like, yeah, you're not gonna like throw them in the pit,
right?
You know, like, but it's important for, you know, like these are points of you know, like music experiences are like quintessential points of like you know, cultural connection, right? They like they put stamps in time and you know, they become like these key moments that we measure, you know, our existence against, right? Like I can go back to like year one Bonnaroos, or like my first Fish festival, or my first Fish show, or, you know, the first time, you know, Flostradamus like played, you know, the Aragon, you know, good friends of mine. Like all these things I can like measure these moments in time. So it's like,
for sure,
I want my you know, my the people I care about the most, my family, to be like to feel that too. So like we try to create an environment that like enables that, right? Like as long as you don't throw them in the pit, it's pretty family. It's pretty family.
Sure, the outfits there are not as crazy as the rave outfits either, so
yeah. I mean like there is a little bit of a blend of that, so I think it's interesting too. It's like some of the you know, that fashion you know, definitely started to
pop up.
You know, we've just had more and more of it, you know. So it's like it's cool to see it like being accepted, but it's also like you can see like where those things
the
cross paths. Yeah, totally. But it's, you know, it's all good, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I feel the same. I think I was exposed to music as, you know, at a young age too, but it was like boy band culture in like the 90s. Like, and then I was obsessed in high school and went to so many live shows, so many festivals. So that's how I feel. I've been asked that with my son. I'm like, we have a couple years before we get there, but I will 100% be taking him to shows and festivals because it's such a huge part of my life. And I think it's going to be such a wonderful thing to expose him to. So I'm right there with you. DJing is a whole other thing. How did your son get into DJing?
He's still learning, right? Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, both my kids, you know, because I think, you know, probably because of like all this exposure and, you know, and then also like they go to a public Montessori, which is a pretty, so in Chicago, mm-hmm. CPS has like kind of these different magnet schools, and we're lucky enough to like be a part of this public Montessori. So they had like music, they have music like in mm-hmm. their school. And I know like a lot of schools are like cutting music programs. So we were super fortunate to like have a music program in our school. So they're all like really musical. Like my oldest is a freshman in high school. He's in the jazz band. He plays stand up bass, you know, like Vampire Weekend, just their album just dropped. Vampire Weekend's his absolute favorite band. You know,
aww,
like,
yeah.
It's just cool to see him like obsess about things and with the same detail that I used to, or, mm-hmm. or that I, you know, that, and Eames is just into, that's my youngest. He's into, he's just into dance music, like always has been, you know, and like,
that's
I've got videos of him, you know, with, you know, side stage as like this tiny kid, on Perry's at Lollapalooza, you
right.
know, like watching Kurt and watching the Flosstradamus set, just like,
that's so
in
cool.
It.
Yeah.
So he's been like, he's just been around it, you know, and, you know, he's a big Marshmallow fan. So he like follows all those details
awesome.
And like all that stuff. So, you know, and I think like, I don't know, they were making like, you know, like Fruity Loops type beats and like using all
that's
this,
awesome.
You know, all these like web programs to make stuff like. As long as I can remember, you know, back when they were like four years old, you know, together. So
that's so cool.
So it's just always been there. And then we picked up a set of like real CDJs, and then he's like building his set right now.
Oh,
you know,
amazing.
And like trying to figure this out, but you know, and like trying to figure out the programming of it. And he played last year, but it was just like, he plugged his iPod in and like played some songs.
Sure.
But, like,
good experience. He's got to practice yet.
I mean, everyone was like stoked, you know, like
that's so
like
cool.
Everyone was super kind, and you know, he had like a crowd, you know, for
awesome.
his little playlist, you know. So it's I don't know, it's cool. But his
that's awesome.
Yeah, his DJ name is Inverted. The E's are threes. So
love it.
Look for him on the circuit coming out soon.
That's so cool. I mean, so other than that, this summer, I know you have an event this weekend. You've got Grid Life, and you also have an event in July. By the way, guys, Grid Life Midwest, June 7th to 9th.
Yep.
Correct. And then we have Grid Life Summer Apex as well in July. Anything else you want to plug or tease that's in store for those upcoming events?
No, I mean, Midwest is going to be a banger, right? So like the, you know, kind of picking up from last year, you know, Zed's Dead is the headliner, right? You kind of rattle off the other mm-hmm. artists on the lineup, you know, I think it's going to be amazing. You know, like we've been talking about having Zed's Dead out, you know, like since the beginning
right.
of Grid Life, you know? So like, it's really cool to also be able to like get to this point where we're like, booking artists that we've, you know, dreamed about having or mm-hmm. that we felt would like really, you know, connect with the culture, you know. And then Summer Apex is our newest festival. So this is a first year festival that's in
amazing
end of July. It's in Wisconsin at Road America. So as far as like, I mean, venues are always really important to the experience as well, mm-hmm. right? You know, so like you've got venues that you love and venues that you don't, you know, and, you know, festival grounds and festival sites like all impact it. You could, you know, like with a festival like Electric Forest, because of the way they like present the venue, it's like mm-hmm. you care who's playing, but you really care about like how it feels
experience.
When you're there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Road America, which is the venue for Summer Apex, is as far as racetracks go, it's one of those places. It's like for those of us in car culture, or particularly racing culture, there's a few racetracks in the country where you like walk on site and you like kind of get these goosebumps,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's most of the ones that are like kind of what we would call like legacy or legendary tracks. So like that track has been around since the 50s. It's like such
wow.
a gorgeous, it's such a gorgeous place to spend a weekend, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like in, you know, like carved out in Kettle Moraine Glacier area. It's like real wooded, you know, it's just a really, really cool spot. So we're super excited about that. One, it's a really difficult venue from a racing perspective to actually secure for an event like this. So,
sure.
you know, it usually has a, you know, a super like 5-10 year wait list if you want to get like a weekend like wow. the one we have.
Yeah.
And then we also see that opportunity as kind of being our forthcoming flagship one, because the venue is so well suited to like mm-hmm. scale an event. Two, it's still like close to home, right? So it's effectively like a home track, because we're based in Chicago. It's 2.5 hours north.
Right.
You know, which like makes it, you know, kind of a home circuit.
Amazing.
And we just did some, we just finished some of the buying for that. So it's, we're swinging pretty hard mm-hmm. for this first year event there. So it'll be kind of in the same vein as what Midwest has presented. And we're super excited. We're pushing really hard for that one. So
amazing. Well, if you ever need any good bass acts, I got a couple homies, so I can send them your way. They would probably be so down to play.
Yeah, I appreciate it for sure.
Of course. Yeah, no, I mean, lots in stores. I think it's just such an interesting year to chat with you about this. And seriously, congrats on all of the growth that you guys have had. I know you'll absolutely crush this summer. The Zed's Deads fans alone are dedicated, so I'm sure you're gonna get them rolling through there. But can you plug any websites, social accounts where people can connect with you guys?
You can kind of find everything at grid www.grid.life. So that's our website. That'll kind of offshoot you to any of the information you need. So whether you're a music fan and you want to know more about the particular events, or you're like, hey, I'm into cars, I wonder what this is all about. You know, there's mm-hmm. much information there as well. And then across the board on social, we're Grid Life Official on most places. So both Twitter or X, I suppose, and then Instagram. And then Grid Life Fest is our Midwest specific festival account. So
awesome.
A little bit different information there, just because it's more centric around like, what do campers need to know? And mm-hmm. like, you know, you're coming to the event, here's some information about it.
Beautiful.
But yeah, you can find most of the stuff there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate your time so much. And guys, you can connect with us at Rave Culture Cast on all the platforms. Check this out on YouTube if you want to watch the video. We appreciate you being here. Chris, good luck with all the events this summer.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.